Philip has just lost the respect of the youth league football team he coaches. He was asked what New England should do in the draft, and his answer was objectively terrible. The Athletic just wrote a great article about this, but Philip doesn't have the Athletic or the respect of a boisterous group of 11-year-olds who once looked up to him. Learn from Philip's error, get the Athletic, and get the info you need to speak draft fluently. Greg is usually a fan of water cooler talk, but it's draft season, and that's all anyone wants to talk about. The Athletic has loads of articles about this year's draft, but Greg doesn't have the Athletic, so now he's filling up his water bottle in the bathroom sink, which, to remind you, is the sink people use after they use the bathroom. Get the Athletic and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
We're going to get this train back on the tracks. The Colts only blitzed Mahomes twice. Should we expect more teams to do this versus the Chiefs moving forward?
As in not blitzing? Yeah. I'm going to miss that Cardinals game. You know, I look back on it fondly thinking, wasn't that nice? When a team stepped onto an NFL field, forgot that you don't blitz Patrick Mahomes and tried to do it 50% of the time. I don't think a team's going to blitz the Chiefs for next month. If Gus Bradley, someone we openly mocked on this podcast last week, won't do it, then no one is. And you can look at whatever you want. The Tampa Bay Bucs actually should probably blitz. They have the sixth highest blitz percentage in the NFL right now. So they do blitz. So if they don't do it, who's going to? Like, honestly, who's going to? If the team who blitzes in the near the top five in the NFL right now won't blitz Kansas City, who will? The entire NFL is leaning towards this. It's ludicrous. It's the same thing as last year. Until Mahomes proves he can beat a defense that isn't blitzing, like, consistently, right? He obviously can do it. But until he does it consistently, he's 3-4 weeks into this, and he's just torching you guys because you never send anybody, then I think that's probably the model for the Chiefs for the next month, would be my guess from pretty much every opposing defense.
You know, I don't think it matters for this game on Monday because the Bucs probably have the number one defense in the NFL. So I don't really care what Todd Bowles dials up. I think they're probably going to, like, just, I know we'll get more into the game on our Friday episode.
It's going to be a slog.
I don't think this is the game where the Chiefs offense comes alive and Patrick Mahomes throws for 5 touchdowns. The Bucs have one of the most talented defenses in the NFL. This is going to be another test. But that's almost what concerns me, because the Colts were not that. I think that you go back to that game with the Chiefs' inability to run the ball and running it so unsuccessfully, especially on early down situations. I want to see Andy Reid, Eric Bieniemy dial up a game plan that actually forces defenses to do something uncomfortable, which they didn't do in Indianapolis.
You know, in a weird way, it could completely reverse. Like, they're bad against the Colts, and offense are like, you guys stink. They go out and like score like 5 touchdowns against the Bucs. I'm like, the hell are you? What the hell's going on here? You're like, you're laying eggs against the Colts. The Buccaneers are coming in allowing 9 points a game and you're dropping 30 on them. None of this makes any sense. What are you? Inconsistent would probably be the answer. You know, the Bills were like that on offense last year. They were one of the best scoring offenses in the NFL. And they had those weeks right after they lost to the Jags where it's like, we scored 6. We scored 57. We scored 13. We scored 49. You're like, that doesn't make sense. Why don't you just always score 30? That would somehow be better.
You know what I think the solution is? Just pass the ball on every play.
Just give up on the run? Clyde had 0 yards rushing last week, so
the Chiefs picked up one first down with their running backs. That seems impossible. I haven't crunched the numbers on it, but I'd imagine that's lower than the average NFL game.
Kayla, I think
pass it on every play.
I think I already know how Nick feels about this, so I'm kind of curious. Because I feel like anytime losses happen, people start the, you know, let's just bring in Odell Beckham Jr. Or the one that's been going on right now is, let's bench Isaiah Pacheco. Forget whatever we thought about him. It's Ronald Jones' turn. He's the guy who will get the yard. Are you like, because you've been the most positive easily this whole time, would you just be like, you know what? Yeah, Ronald Jones' time. Because, like, I don't want to do that. Pacheco's the better back.
I'm not ready to quit Pacheco yet. No, he was one of the ones I think I said at the beginning of the season or yeah, the season that I thought was going to have a breakout year. So I can't back out on him now. I'm not going to quit him. But this does beg the question, guys, that we're probably going to ask ourselves all season, let's be honest. Is it okay for us to admit that the Chiefs miss having Tyreek Hill on the roster?
Denial's pretty ugly. Sure. Nick, do you want to? This is a safe place.
Yeah, I'll take this. I think I said this on the Sunday episode or the Monday episode. Yeah. I miss Tyreek. I'm not afraid to admit it.
Can you put some like sad music here?
Yeah, when you're out of this? I want to get back together. I want to get back together. This is like a month after the breakup, and you know you send
miss
that,
the X.
You send that 1 a.m. text. You know, you up? That's what I'm saying. I'm sending the you up text to Tyreek Hill right now, because I want to be the team with the fastest receiver in the NFL. That was fun. Don't you guys remember? You guys remember those days?
Like it was last season.
Weren't they fun? Wasn't it fun?
Yeah, they
having
were.
The fastest guy to ever play the sport.
Did it help that he only had 2 receptions for 33 yards last weekend? Because I'm now find myself constantly looking at his stats.
No, because I think he would have had 7
he's wasting
receptions
his
if he
talent
were in Kansas City.
On the Dolphins. Exactly.
He is still on pace, despite those 35 yards, for 1,700 yards and 12 touchdowns. So it doesn't make me feel great. What's So, Kayla, I haven't been single. This is get to know each other time a little bit.
Oh, boy.
I haven't been single in a very, a very long time. Forever, right? I've known my wife since we were in middle school. We haven't been together that long, but I've known my wife that long. We've been together since, you know, for 20 years almost. Not quite, but we're getting there. So if this is anything like a breakup, how long are we talking about, like, where me watching Tyreek highlights is like, desperately looking at your ex Instagram page. Oh. What's the normal amount of time we can expect that to wash away?
You might be asking the wrong person here. I don't get over things easily. So
what's your normal breakup protocol? What's the amount of time you would say you feel pretty good about? I'm going to stop stalking their page.
Oh my gosh. Well,
let's get
when
personal,
they,
Taylor.
When they aren't, yeah, this is, I mean, my parents listen to this. When they treat you poorly, it makes it easier to get over them, right?
Well, Tyreek was trying to do that in the offseason, right? He was trying to say all these bad things about us.
Yes, that helped because I was like, ew, why are you bashing the people who built you? I don't know. I guess it's going to depend on how the Dolphins finish out the season. If they do very well, I'm going to be really angry for a long time.
I mean, if you break up and then they're dating a supermodel and they got a big job worth hundreds of that, you're like, a big promotion. You're like, well, this sucks. But no, it's just like, he said bad things, but it's just like, I know a promotion. It's not a promotion to go from Patrick Mahomes to Tua.
No.
But he's on one of the 2 only undefeated teams in the NFL, and he's pacing for a gajillion yards and 1,000,000 touchdowns. I'm sure at some point the honeymoon phase will fade a little bit. But yeah, it's not easy to watch Tyreek do that.
All right. To close things out today, obviously the weather is a huge question mark this weekend as we head to Tampa. If weather impacts this game, guys, will it impact the outcome? Before you answer, here's what we know so far. The Bucs moved their practices to the Dolphins facility today in Miami. If the game, though, isn't played in Tampa, where will it be played, you ask? Well, according to ESPN and league sources, it likely won't be in Miami, despite the fact the Dolphins do play Thursday night in Cincy, just because the NFL doesn't want to risk taking up state resources, they said, if those resources would be better utilized, obviously, in Tampa. If the game is moved, the rumor has it, it'll likely be at a neutral site somewhere in the Midwest, like Minnesota. Obviously, we don't know how bad the damage is going to be in Tampa. It looks like it is going to bypass Tampa at this point. But how do we think this will impact the outcome of the game?
I mean, if it's going to miss Tampa, which it looks like it is, my guess is the NFL likes money and it will put people there. Because they were like, well, let's wait to see how bad it, you know, hurts the city before we decide there's no football game. Turns out when you got billions of dollars on the line, they handle this. But if it goes to a neutral site, that's a several point swing. I mean, if you take an NFL team and displace them for their entire week of practice and then send them to Minnesota and Kansas City doesn't have to play a true road game. Matter of fact, it'd probably feel more like a home game for them because it would only be, 6 hours? You drive fast, 5.5 to Minneapolis? I mean, I do think it would make an impact. But at this point, it's starting to feel like that game's going to end up in Tampa. But they're still going to be displaced in Miami for a week. And with Tom Brady already having this weird schedule and stuff, it doesn't feel like it's going to have no impact on the game.
Yeah, I think it impacts the Bucks negatively more than it impacts the Chiefs positively. The Chiefs were already planning on going on a road game. Like, these football players and coaches are creatures of habit. Mm-hmm. The Chiefs were already planning on hitting the road, going to an unfamiliar, I say that with quotation marks, environment, whereas the Bucks were preparing for a home game. And you go through the procedures of a home game, you know it, you're sort of in a routine of what you do each day throughout the week. Now, all of a sudden, you have to get on a plane and fly. I don't know what it is from Tampa to Minnesota, but I would imagine that's 4 or 5 hours. Like, that's not your routine. And now you have to change your practice schedule. That, to me, like, that's what I would look more at with a team that is dealing with a ton of injuries, who now has to completely alter their weekly schedule, versus the Chiefs, which are basically just going to be changing their destination.
I'll be the one to ask this. This can't be at Arrowhead because this would then favor the Chiefs too much, or just give them an extra home game, or what's...
Yeah, they don't want to give their team they're playing against a home game. But all in fairness, this is bullshit. They got to play a home Super Bowl. They ought to just give this one up.
Thank you. This That's is what nonsense. We get in return.
They got to just play a game at home for the Super
Excellent
Bowl?
Excellent point.
Just give us this one. That seems fair. It's a regular season game, you know. It's just, you know, it is. Teams don't want to give up home field advantage when they have actual Super Bowl aspirations, whether I think those are ridiculous at the moment or not, because I'm not convinced the Bucks are a good football team. Not saying they have 0% chance to win on Sunday, which we'll talk about on the Friday episode, but I don't think they're all that good. I just, you know, they're going to always choose neutral site, Nick. You know that.
Yes, we will obviously know more about this on Friday, which is when we will be back with you next. So this is the Always Game Day in Kansas City podcast. I'm Kayla Canarum. That is Cody Tapp. He is Nick Schwartz, and we will be back with you guys on Friday. Have a good one.